This is a recording of Ms. Jean Mara on December the 19th at the Business and Professional Women's Club for the Christmas program.
Instead of one long one, one would be a regular Christmas reading, one would be funny. Once upon a time, God created the heaven and the earth. And on the first day, he said, let there be light. And he placed all the stars in the sky, all except one. And this little star was hurt, and it began to cry because it hadn't been able to shine with the rest of the stars. But when it went to God and wondered why, God said, I'm not ready for you yet, little star. You must grow some more before I can use you. Many years went by. Then one day down on earth, God's chosen people, the Hebrews, escaped from their bondage in Egypt. Their leader was a man named Moses, and he led them through the banks of the river toward the land of Canaan. This made God very happy. He said, I'll need 6 million stars to volunteer to build a pillar of fire to lead my children to the promised land. Who will volunteer? Now's my chance, thought the little star. I will volunteer. But when he went to God, God said, no, I'm not ready for you yet, little star. You must grow brighter before I can use you. Many years passed, and all that time the little star was growing larger and brighter. When will my time come, it wondered. And on the dark nights when the clouds hid the other stars from earth, the little star tried to steal beneath the clouds and light the path for the travelers who were lost and couldn't find their way home. But God would call it and say, not yet, little star. Be patient. Your time will come. How much I'm missing, the little star thought, as it watched the larger stars keeping vigil over David as he slept in the field at night. How I would love to inspire the poets, as the other stars do, to write about me. The little star sighed as century after century passed and was still not allowed to shine. But all that time, it was growing larger and brighter. Finally, one day, God called her, little star, I'm ready to use you. Your time has come. The little star twinkled with anticipation. What did God have in store for it? And while it sat there in radiance, God picked it up and placed it in the sky and said, now shine, little star, and shine it did. As it was shining, it noticed three wise men who were looking at it with exceeding joy, as if it held the answer to some question in their mind. And strange to say, the little star decided it was supposed to lead them somewhere. So it started moving slowly across the sky. And where it went, the wise men followed. And then all at once, it realized it was headed for a village in the distance. The closer it got to the town, the brighter the little star beamed. And when it got to the edge of the town, it burst forth in a radiance more beautiful than any other star had ever possessed. And then it stopped right in front of a stable. And as it did, the wise men got down from their camels and went in the stable. What are they looking for? Thought the little star. Then it heard God's voice in heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. A wonderful peace settled on the little star. He knew that God would soon call it out of the sky, which purpose was done, but he was happy. He was ready to give way to a light that was better, the life of man. Then I'll say Mirandy on Christmas. Well, Sis Mirandy, said Sis Araminy to me the other day, the Merry Christmas tide is upon us again. That's so, I suppose. Whenever you sees a woman with a wild look in her eye, a run up and down the aisles of the apartment store, like a chicken with its head cut off, And whenever you notice that most of your lady friends are that tired and nervous that they jump when you speak at them and has the appearance of just having a long spell of sickness, you don't need nobody to tell you that Christmas in here. And I bet if we could take a peep in the bunkhouse right now and see what they're doing, they'd be beating their heads up against the padded walls saying, "What will I get this Christmas for Uncle Simon, Cousin Sue, and Little Willie? But they ain't going to like what I get them no matter what it is." And I find myself going around in a regular circle trying to decide what would be better to present my Aunt Matilda, who's been bedridden for the past 10 years with a bad misery in her back, with a safety razor or umbrella, as a slight token of my affection for her at this Christmas time. And it ain't no wonder, as Brother Jenkins says, that reason topples on his throne when we start out trying to spread $4.75 over the Christmas present for 411 people and get something for each one of them that costs $47.50. And it's no wonder that reason topples on his throne. When I sit down and look at my Christmas presents, I'm filled with a deep, dark suspicion. It looks to me like Christmas in the time that all of our enemies take to get even with us and do the things they wouldn't dare do during the balance of the year. While that uppity Mae Jane Jones presented me with a little belt that I couldn't much more get around my waist, my figure being fashioned after a feather bed instead of a telephone pole. And that Mary Gwendolyn that's always shining around my old man Ike presented me with a pair of old ladies' comforts, all the time she's sashaying in high jaybird heels. And I wondered if Bert Jenkins was postulating any more than the conference of the season when he presented me with these little books entitled The Art of Silence, How to Rule by Gentleness. Knowing all the time that I was a woman that had the full use of my tongue and put my faith in the flat iron and the rolling pins. And the funny thing is, during the balance of the year, don't have no trouble at all of recollecting the wants and lacks of my friends and family. But when Christmas comes, I can't think of a thing that they want. The worst part of it all, though, is the way your husband behaves at Christmas. Now, before you're married, all you have to do is specify yourself as wanting something, and he breaks his neck, but what he get it for you. But after you're married, the only way you can do is to remind him every day for 6 months that we're going to celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December this year. Then if you've got the strength, you can work him up the point where he'll come in about a week beforehand, fling a dollar in your lap, okay, you go out and buy yourself a Christmas present. That he wouldn't dare risk his neck in one of them apartment stores. Now this year, I've been discoursing to Ike for the last 6 months about one of these weeping willow feathers that a certainly does home after. But do you expect he's going to surprise me on Christmas morning with that feather? No. It's dollars to donuts. He'll come in and fling a red flannel petticoat in my lap and be mad cause I don't fling fits of gratitude over it and say, how in the world was he to know that I wanted the feather? I often think what a grand and glorious season Christmas would be if everybody took the money they spent on other people and spent on themselves. Then nobody would get the wrong thing, nobody would be disappointed. And think of the saving on the leather of the shoes of the bill collector. Yes, sir, every year I swears off of giving and receiving presents. But just about a week beforehand, I crowds the bargain counter and hunts and fusses with the other women. But there's one thing to be thankful for, and that is that Christmas comes this once a year. The first one was a Jew. So St. Peter asked him how he'd been treated on earth and said, perfectly terrible, that people had been crucified, persecuted, and killed, and one thing and another. And he said, well, you won't have that to go through up here. If you can spell God, you can walk right in. And he did. They were glad to have him. The next was a Pole. He went through the same thing about what a time they had. St. Peter said, well, you're welcome here if you can spell God. So he spelled it and went right on in. The next was the colored man. And he said, oh, we've just been treated terrible. Said, we even had to sit in the back of the bus and one thing and another. St. Peter says, well, if you can spell chrysanthemum, you can just come right on in. There won't be any discretion.
Someone wavered, how God gets many wavered people to come unto him. There was a shepherd that had a wavered sheep that led all the other sheep astray. And the shepherd prayed to God, and it seemed that God revealed to him that he would have to get the sheep down on its knees, and it would have to look up into the shepherd's face, which the shepherd was his master. So he thought about it, how he could do that. So it seemed that God revealed to him that he could break its leg, and he could care for it more than all the other sheep, and make it a nice bed of straw, and feed it as well as the others. But it would have to look up into his face. So he broke the sheep's leg, and for 2 weeks it took it to heal. But it looked up into his face, and at the end of 2 weeks, when its leg was healed, it never led anything else astray because it looked into the master's face for 2 weeks.